Welcome to the Vision Church podcast. We're so thankful that you're taking some time today to listen. We pray that this week's message challenges you to press in deeper with your pursuit of Christ. Our mission at Vision Church is to go and make disciples. You can help us in this mission by rating this podcast and sharing it with the world via social media. We want to reach the lost by raising up the found. Thank you again for tuning in today and enjoy the message.
This morning, if you have your Bible, turn with me really quickly to 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. Let's take a second really quickly to welcome our online audience. Let's say hello to everybody watching in the Facebook world. What's up, everybody online? We're honored that you're joining us on this Mother's Day morning. I want to encourage you to leave a comment. Let us know where you're watching from. We loved hearing the feedback about where people are watching. We've seen people tune into the live stream from Alaska, from literally all over the United States. It's really, really amazing. So hit share on that video. You never know who might be impacted by the gospel. Real quick, I have an announcement before I jump into the message. Kylie Brill, who is our Vision Kids director, and her husband, Greg Brill, who is our creative director, in other words, our worship leader, all right? They just welcomed a brand new baby boy into the world, Milo Brill. Come on, somebody, look at that child. Let's give the Lord praise for his promises. Beautiful baby, got the red hair, ginger and blue eyes, looking just like Greg up in here. So congratulations to them and happy Mother's Day to you, Kylie, if you're watching on the live stream, which you better be. Anyway, just kidding. I want to pray over you really quickly. Lord, we thank you so much for the sweetness of your spirit. I thank you, Lord, for the power of the gospel. And I pray, Lord, that today we would lean into your word with an expectant heart, believing you to do great and mighty things in us. I pray that I would be hidden and get out of the way, and Lord, that your spirit would take control and speak a profound word to your people that would inspire them, strengthen them, and transform them more into your image. It's in Jesus' precious name we pray, and everybody said, amen, amen. Amen. I want to give you a little context of the scripture that I'm about to read to you before I read it. I think it's really important. 2 Timothy, the book of 2 Timothy, is very different from the book of 1 Timothy. Now, I know that you would think 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy would be a lot alike because they're in sequential order. However, they're very different. They were written many years apart. In 2 Timothy, this book is written by the Apostle Paul. I know that it's called Timothy, but the letter is written by the Apostle Paul to Timothy, who is his spiritual son. This book is written from a dungeon, from a prison cell. The Apostle Paul is in chains. He's shackled and he is on death row awaiting execution. The Apostle Paul, as many of you know, wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. He was a phenomenal church planter. He started many great churches all throughout Europe and Asia Minor. He was a missionary, one of the greatest leaders in the history of our faith. He now finds himself trapped in a dungeon cell, and most historians believe that it was completely filthy, full of every kind of filth and disgusting thing you could imagine, and that it was just short enough that an average-sized human being could not even stand up. So likely he was chained, hunched over, back-breaking agony, experiencing for many weeks, many days, or months even. And from that dungeon, he writes to his spiritual son, Timothy, who is pastoring the church at Ephesus. At this time, the church at Ephesus is dwindling. They're losing members. People who once pronounced their faith in Jesus Christ are now reneging, and they are turning their backs on the very one who saved them. Many people are coming through that region preaching a false gospel. They're preaching a self-centered Savior. They're not preaching the true gospel, and a great multitude, even from the church at Ephesus, are dwindling away. It's a dark moment that Paul writes this letter. And he doesn't write this letter as a moment of surrender. Paul's not out here waving the white flag saying, well, it's all over, do your best. No, instead, the very tone of Paul himself is one of strength and courage. He is admonishing his spiritual son, Timothy, to be strong and courageous in the Lord. And he tells him, the Lord has not given you a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. If you put yourself in Timothy's shoes, your apostle, your mentor, the one who has breathed life into you and walked you through your journey of faith, is now on death row, about to be executed at the hands of his accusers, and you are about to be all by yourself, isolated in a hostile region where people are leaving and forsaking the true gospel. It's a very sobering moment that this is written. And now, with that context, I want you to pick up with me in 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. Timothy, I thank God for you. The God I serve with a clear conscience, just as my ancestors did. Night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. I long to see you again, for I remember your tears as we parted, and I will be filled with joy when we are together again. I remember your genuine faith. You share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know that same faith is continuing strong in you. This is why I remind you to fan the flames, the spiritual gifts God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. And that's all I want to read to you right there. The Apostle Paul is not giving up. Even in the midst of darkness and chaos, he is not losing hope. The purpose of this letter is to encourage Timothy in the Lord, for him to find strength, for him to find courage, and to muster up the tenacity to finish the mission that they had started. But I want you to pay really close attention to verse 5. I want to read it to you one more time, and this is It's a relatively obscure verse, but this is where we're going to hang our hat this morning. I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know that same faith continues strong in you. This is amazing right here. Now, this is the only time in the Bible that it actually uses the word grandmother. This is it right here. And for Lois and Eunice, the grandmother and the mother of Timothy to be mentioned in Scripture is a really big deal. Look at your neighbor and tell him it's a big deal. Y'all, the 9:30 was way more hype than you. All right, I'm counting on you. 11:15, y'all got to be woke up. All right, that's country. Woke up. All right. When the Bible includes your name, that's a big deal. Can I get away? You know what I'm saying? So when the Bible mentions your mama and your grandmama, these were women of faith right here. This is a big deal, all right? And I need you to get the context of who Timothy is. You need to understand it, because otherwise you're going to miss this. Timothy was not just some random dude. He was not just some random disciple or follower of Paul. Timothy became an evangelist, a soul winner. He became the pastor at the church of Ephesus. Eventually, he became the bishop of the church of Ephesus, which not only sounds cooler, but it also means that he was the pastor of other pastors. This was a serious and prominent leader in this region. Thousands of souls and lives were affected by this man's faith and adherence to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many historians believe that Timothy lived his latter days becoming even a martyr, staying faithful to the message of the cross, even to his death. The infamous historical reference to Timothy's death is that during the parade of a pagan god, he shouted out and started preaching the unashamed gospel of Jesus Christ. Faith exuded from his life and it got him martyred. And what a privilege it is to die in the name of the Lord. Timothy was an extraordinary man of faith, an extraordinary son of Eunice and grandson of Lois. This passage in verse 5 is monumentally important on this Mother's Day, and I pray that you receive the message that Scripture is speaking to you. As Paul writes from this dungeon to refan the flames of his spiritual son, he starts by reminding him where his faith came from. He says, Timothy, I want you to remember where your faith originated. I want you to remember when you first fell in love with my word. And 2 Timothy is profoundly clear that the origins of Timothy's faith started with a grandmother who was praying for her grandson, a grandmother who was believing when her grandson maybe didn't even have the sense or the awareness to be praying for his own self. Timothy's faith originated with his grandmother, Lois, and his mother, Eunice. And the Bible says the very same faith that was in Lois was in Eunice. And the very same faith that was in them was spilled out and contagious into the life of Timothy. It was from these precious women that their faith was strengthened and assured. The Bible doesn't mention very much at all about Timothy's father. There's only one reference vaguely in the book of Acts that tells us Timothy's dad was a Greek, which likely meant he was an unbeliever. Now, I need you to hear me. Most historians believe that Timothy's father was either absent from his life because he was an unbeliever or because he perished at a young age. Either way, Scripture gives us the inclination that Timothy was raised by a single mother and her mother. He was raised by his grandmama and his mama. And how many of you are thankful that Lois and Eunice, they stayed true to the faith despite the odds, because it was the faith that they kept that one day would strengthen their grandson and their son to stand boldly and be used mightily of the kingdom of our God. Timothy, your faith began with your grandmother and your mother. And I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but you might only be in this church today because somebody had been praying for you. Somebody's been believing for you. You're saved today, washed in the blood of Jesus, because somebody was praying over your life when we didn't have enough sense to pray for ourselves. Let's give the Lord and thank him. Let's give him some praise for some praying mamas and grandmamas. Are you with me on that? You know, we picture the apostles and these men of the faith, we picture their life to be picture perfect. We picture their family to be just like this pristine, cookie cutter life. But the reality is that the Bible tells us a contrary story, that likely Timothy came from a single parent. He came from a life without a father. And the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, credits Lois and Eunice for Timothy's genuine faith. And when the Bible gives you a shout out, that's a big deal. All right, that's a big, big deal. Mothers, grandmothers, you may feel overlooked and you may feel underappreciated and undervalued. You may be in this room today and your children who you've given your life to, they may not call you today. They may not send you flowers. They may not respond to you, and your heart may be broken. You may feel like your own husband doesn't appreciate you or care or value you like you ought to be loved and valued. But I want to let you know this morning, do not give up on your faith. Do not stop believing. Do not stop running into the presence of the Almighty God, because it just may be your faith. It just may be you being full of God's Spirit that overflows into your children and your children's children that one day touches the nations of the world. One grandmama who refused to give up, she refused to throw in the towel. Her faith became contagious, and through her grandson, nations were touched. The world has been flipped upside down. You don't know who your faith will impact. Mothers, hold on, cling to the faith, run into the arms of Jesus. Don't give up. Real fast, I just want to throw this out here. This isn't in the notes, but I just feel it through the Lord to tell you this. In the Old Testament, Abraham had a servant named Hagar, and things got a little bit messy with their family. Basically, Hagar bore Abraham a son named Ishmael. Things got a little bit dicey at home, and Hagar and Ishmael were thrown out into the wilderness. She was a single mother, alone, by herself, fending just to survive. She felt overlooked and neglected, but the angel of the Lord appeared to her, and the text calls God El Roi, which means you are the God who sees me. You are the God who perceives me. And Hagar may have been overlooked by Abraham. Hagar may have been overlooked and rejected by men, but she was the apple of God's eye. He had seen her. And I don't know who I'm talking to this morning. God sees you. He is El Roi. He is the God who sees, the God who perceives. You might feel like you are alone and undervalued, but the Lord God Almighty says to you this morning, I see you, I see your pain, I see your heart, and I am Emmanuel, God with you right now. If anybody is thankful that he's a God who never gives up, I just wish you'd praise him. He's the God who always sees. You see, he wasn't just telling Hagar, I'm the God who sees you, but he says, I'm the God who always perceives. In other words, when nobody else can relate to your pain, when nobody else can relate to your hectic schedule, when nobody else understands what you're walking through, he does. He is the God who's walked and been tried and tempted in all points, yet he remained without sin. He took on bodily form. He knows what it's like to walk in the pressures of the earth. He identifies with you. Jesus is your mediator. You are seen by God. God, and you are loved by God. Mothers, don't give up. Cling to Jesus. It may just be your faith that delivers nations through your children and their children's children. I don't know about you, but I'm just reading the Word of God and I'm getting hyped in here. It's awesome. The Bible says it was the same faith that was in Timothy that was in his mother Eunice and in Lois. The same faith. It was the same faith. But you see, Timothy wasn't the only beneficiary of those mothers clinging to Jesus. The church at Ephesus and the 10,000s by 10,000s who were touched by his ministry and his work were the beneficiaries of their faith because some mothers clung, they held close to the message of the gospel. You never know who will benefit from your faith. Keep believing. If you have your Bible, turn with me really quickly to 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. This is incredible. Lois and Eunice are examples of the powerful influence a mother can become. But you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You know that they are true, for you can trust those who taught you. You have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and make us realize what is wrong in our own lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare us and equip His people to do every good work. This is beautiful. What's happening right here is Paul is addressing the false prophets who are flourishing all around Timothy. Paul is addressing all of the false ideologies that are being preached around Timothy. And he's saying, cling to the word of the Lord that you've been taught from your childhood. Hold dear to the lessons that your mother and your grandmother taught you, for as they taught you of me, it will sustain you all the days of your life. The word says if you raise up a child in the ways of the Lord, when they are older, they will not depart. This is the promise of the Lord. The key that I want you to see really quickly right here is that Timothy's mother and grandmother started early. Look at your neighbor and tell them they started early. The Bible says that Timothy had been taught the scriptures from his childhood, from early on. And mothers, I'm gonna preach to you for just a minute. You have been given a specific and unique position and an influence from the Lord, and you have been given a responsibility to teach and equip your children in the word of the living God. You've been uniquely positioned and uniquely gifted and granted access to speak into the life of your child like nobody else ever could. It's a responsibility. Now, listen, I'm just going to tell you this really quickly. Vision Kids, our programs that we have for your children during this service, they are amazing. They're getting better every single week. They're awesome. Our kids team does a great job, but it's not enough. If you are relying on that to teach your children and to develop them spiritually, you're missing it. While that is a great program and great volunteers, and they are learning about Jesus on their level, it's not designed to stop there. Parents, that's just designed to be the catalyst that launches conversation in the car ride home, at your dinner table. It's designed for you to carry the torch the rest of the time through your life. Moms, grandmamas, you have been given a specific influence. You've been positioned by God to impact your children with the message of the gospel. Let's take that responsibility seriously. And by the way, the children aren't yours anyway. They ultimately are His. They're just on loan to you. They were created in His image, and after His likeness, He just trusted them into your care. How will you handle it? You see, I'm about to lose it here for a minute. Parents today, everybody just wants to be best friends. We just want to be BFFs with our kids. And while it is very nice that you want to be a friend to your kids, Scripture teaches that you are called to be a parent, a mom and a dad. And that means that you're going to have some difficult conversations. That means you're going to have to say no when everybody else is saying yes. That means sometimes you're going to have to be the bad cop. That means sometimes you're going to have to correct them, rebuke them in love. Scripture says if you hate a child, then just spoil them and let them run wild. But the Lord Himself rebukes and corrects those that He loves. We have a responsibility to parent our children, not just go on to autopilot and hope for the best and say, well, I took them to Vision Kids. That's a great start, but that's not enough. It doesn't end there. Real quick, if you take a passive approach to parenting your child, you are squandering the very influence that was tailor-made by God for you. And if you don't talk to them about difficult issues, society will gladly do it for you. Instagram will gladly tell them everything that it wants them to be inundated with. Facebook, they're really not on Facebook anymore. But anyway, like social media and their peers will do it. I want to challenge you mothers. I want to challenge you grandmothers and even fathers on Mother's Day. I want to challenge you. Be the first to have tough conversations with your children. Be the first voice in their life surrounding difficult situations that surround them in their world. Be the first voice of reason in their life, not the last lifeline. You feel what I'm saying to you? I want to challenge you. And I'm going to get in your face here for a minute, but you're welcome. Be the first voice about the sanctity of life. Be the first voice. Be the first influence to tell them that life is precious and a gift from God. Be the first voice to tell them about sin and about the consequences and about the beauty of the cross. Be the first to tell them of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Be the first to influence them at a young age. That's the example that we see from Lois and Eunice. That's who they were. They were godly mothers who kept the faith, and they raised up Timothy in the ways of the Lord, and his faith became great, and he touched nations and turned cities upside down for the glory of God. It won't happen by accident or by mistake. It happens intentionally. One other thing while we're here. When we look around our world, we see a lot of problems today. We see a lot of confusion. We see a lot of chaos. And I fear that far too many of us Americans, we expect Washington to change our society. We expect DC to solve all of our problems. But I just want to say something to you really quickly. DC and politicians and a new election year is not going to change the problems that face America. It's not going to change the problems that face Charlotte, North Carolina. I truly believe that life change begins at the dinner table, begins in the car rides home and back and forth to school. I believe that life change, world change, begins with one parent, one mother, one father at a time who's bold enough, courageous, and loving enough to raise their children and point them to the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is the hope of the world. Nothing else ever will be. One of the great epidemics of our days are the fatherless generation. They are fatherless and in many cases, even motherless. They're absent and not present, causing them to go off and interpret life and contextualize it by their own understanding and their own feelings and emotions. The human heart is desperately wicked above all things. We need correction. We need guidance. We need the truth of the Word of God. Children don't need best friends. They need moms and they need dads. I want to encourage you, parents, use that influence God gave you and have substance conversations, conversations with substance. Put the cell phones aside and invest in your children. All right. Now, I want to tell you just really quickly this morning about some mothers and grandmothers who have greatly influenced my life. And I want you to know that your influence is greater than you think it is. Look at your neighbor and tell them your influence is greater. It's greater. Y'all are messing with me today. I'm telling you what. Online people, please tell it to your neighbor, your cat, anything. Help me out online. These people have been here. I love them, but they're not helping me today. I love you. So I got to correct you a little bit. No. Real quick, though, I want to show you some godly women who God used mightily in my life, and their faith was invested in me. And I believe that I still to this day carry the faith that these women invested in my life. And I got a few pictures up here. The first one I want to show you is my Meemaw. My Meemaw. When you see her, give it up for Meemaw. Can we give it up for Meemaw? Isn't she lovely? Love you, Meemaw. She is about to be 91 years old. I got good genes, right? Christina, you're in for it. I'm good. She 91. All right. So I want to tell you about my Meemaw really quickly. When, as children, when we stayed over at Meemaw's house on Saturday, you could rest assured on one thing. You were going to be in church on Sunday, all right? There was no option. You were going to church, all right? You were against your will, whether you liked it or not. Meemaw didn't take surveys of, like, the cousins. Like, okay, how many of y'all are feeling church today? No, it was like, you are going to church. If you want to walk in the car, that's great. If you want to get drug in the car, that's great. All right. There was no abuse. All right. I've heard some pastors say that they were raised on drugs. Their mama drug them to church. Their dad drug them to youth group. All right. They were just raised on drugs. I promised I wouldn't do this at the 11:15, but here it is. Surprise. Some of y'all need to raise your kids on drugs. Don't quote that. Please stop it. Don't tweet that. Don't tweet it. Not that kind. You know, drag them to church. Drag them to church. Well, you know, I would have been at church, but little Susie, she doesn't want to get up. What, little Susie is not the boss. You are. Who is the mom? Is she the boss or are you the boss? Who's leading who here? I say it with all love. Look, you're like, well, that preacher don't have any experience. You're right, but I don't have any experience being a dad, but I got one being a son, and I was raised on drugs. I was drugged, all right? I was drugged to church. All right, Meemaw, and with all, this is one of the most loving, beautiful, precious human beings I've ever known in my entire life. Seriously. But if you, in all seriousness, if you stayed with Meemaw and Grandpa, you were going to church. You were, whether you liked it or not. There was no survey. One of my most precious memories of Meemaw and Grandpa is growing up at night, we would stay, my cousins and I would stay at their house a lot. And I remember every night that we stayed there, it would never fail. At nighttime, they would kneel down beside the bed and they would pray fervently to the Lord for what felt like hours on end. They would pray and seek the Lord. And I still remember as a child, that impression and that impact that it had on my life. They didn't know that I was watching. They didn't know that it was influencing my life. Moms, grandmas, you don't know what your example might mean to the future generations, but cling to the faith like Lois and Eunice. Cling to the faith and be an example of what it means to chase after the Lord. It was her faith, part of her faith, that still has carried with me today. My next grandmother that I want to show you, her name is Gigi. Can we give it up for Gigi when you see her on there? Hey, what's up, Gigi? There she is. I love her. Her name was Gigi because she didn't want to be called grandma. She thought that sounded too old. She was like, nope, I'm going to be cool grandma, Gigi. All right? Anyway, Gigi went home to be with the Lord in 2009. Love her dearly. This is my mom's mom. One of my favorite things about her and one of the ways that she truly impacted my life is that she always was talking about Jesus, even when it didn't even make sense. She would find a way to talk about Jesus in any conversation. If you got into a conversation with Gigi, you were about to hear about Jesus. You could just be like, hey, I'm hungry. She'd be like, you know, Jesus one time multiplied the loaves and fishes. You know, she was just like always, you know, Jesus loves you. I love Jesus. Do you love Jesus? She was just all in love with Jesus, for real. It just exuded from her being. And little did she know, a young, impressionable child who wanted to be a stand-up comedian, that was all I could come up with at the time. It didn't work because y'all don't think I'm funny anyway. But like, that's what I wanted to be. And like, little did she know that like her faith was impacting my life and that one day I would carry that same faith and share it with others, as many as I could. Another thing I love about Gigi is something that she was well known for were her prayer walks. She lived in West Virginia, wild and wonderful, the country roads, all right? And she would walk these dirt country roads for miles at a time, and she would talk to the Lord on those walks. She would pray and talk to the Lord. And I thought, you know, nothing of it when I was a kid. But now, today, often in my life, when I find myself at a difficult place or just a place where I need to talk to the Lord, I'll slip out of the office and go walk around the block and take a prayer walk. And I truly believe that that was partly deposited and inspired by Gigi. You don't know. The example that you're setting, mothers, you have great influence in your life. Use it for the glory of God. Two more I want to show you really quickly. The next one is my stepmom, Linda. Let's give it up for my stepmom, Linda, when you see her. There she is. My stepmom, Linda, she may kill me for using that picture, but it looked good to me, so I used it. Or at least I thought so. I'm not photogenic. Christina is, not me. Anyway, my stepmom, Linda, could not have children on her own. She couldn't have children. And when I was about 6-7 years old, she began dating my dad. And my dad came with baggage. That baggage was me. All right, that baggage was me. But she never hesitated, not for a moment, to step in. She never tried to take the place of my mom, but she set out to love me and my dad and invest in my life. And really, I'm going to be honest with you, Linda really was the key player to really leading my dad and myself ultimately to the Lord Jesus Christ. When she married my dad, you know, he and I were, we believed in God, right? But we didn't really practice it. We didn't really totally understand what it meant. We were the type of people that went to church like once a month or like every other month, you know, and we believed in God, but we didn't know God. But my stepmother was extremely influential in introducing us to Jesus and to a new expression of God. And she made it normal in our family to read the Bible together. She made it normal in our family to prayed together, even when little Rebel Tyson didn't want to do it, and I wanted to run out like a little psychopath. Anyway, again, she wasn't taking surveys. It wasn't like, do you feel like, no, we're going to read the Bible. But in all sincerity, her faith has greatly impacted my life, and these women that you're seeing today, I'm carrying much of their faith along with me. Last but not least, this is my mama. Can we give it up for my mama, Connie Everett? Let's give it up for my mama. Love you, Mom. You're probably watching the live stream. She's like, she's always watching. Anyway, my mom is 6'1". She's not standing on something. Like, she really is 6'1". She's very tall. But my mother didn't always have it easy growing up. And for most of her life, she did not know the Lord. For much of her life, she lived just like anybody else without Jesus for themselves. She went through a lot of heartbreak, a lot of ups and a lot of downs. And when I first gave my life to Jesus, I was 13. About a year later, I started preaching. My mom, she always loved me, was a tremendous supporter, but she didn't really want to come hear me preach. She felt a little convicted maybe, but finally one day when I was 14, she came to hear me preach. Worst sermon ever. Worst sermon I've ever preached, ever. Like, it still scarred me. It was so bad. But that night, she stood up, and tears flowing down her face, she came to an altar and fell down at an altar and repented of her sin and gave her life to Jesus Christ. And she got up a new woman. And her faith will always be with me. And I will always believe in the power of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. That woman, her life changed in an instant. In a moment, I was given a new mother instantly. My stepdad was given a new wife in just one moment. Her life is still to me a testament of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And now it's been 18 years and she's still serving the Lord. Come on, somebody. That's amazing. It's amazing. And her act of faith and boldness, I'll carry that with me for the rest of my life. And that's why I will unashamedly preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is not a third-hand, second-hand information experience that might maybe work for you. I've seen it in my family. I've seen it in my mom. If Jesus can set her free, he can set you free and change your life. He can do it. And now, my mom is the number one hype person for Vision Church. Like, she is like, oh, hype. Every sermon I preach to her is the greatest sermon ever. And that's like, not true. But if I'm ever feeling, you know, down, I just call mom. She's like, that was awesome. It's like, what? So anyway, motherly love. A child only a mother can love. Anyway, God used each one of these women instrumentally to impact my faith and my life. And I share that with you not because my family is special or perfect, because to be honest with you, it's quite the contrary. The fact that God could use them, the fact that God could use me, is a testament that God can use broken people and do beautiful things. My family did not always have it all together. We weren't always walking the line of faith, right? But the Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. And their example and their faith has impacted me greatly. Mothers, you have been given special influence. An influence that you may never truly understand. I challenge you and I pray that you use it well. Use it for the glory of God. Point your children to the gospel. Point them forever to the cross of Jesus Christ. As the band comes to help me close, I want to speak to those of you who might be in this room this morning and you're hearing this and it might be moving to you and you say, well, I didn't have a godly example in my life. I didn't have a godly mother or grandmother who invested in my life. You may feel like you've been robbed or shortchanged. I just want to draw your attention to something really quickly. In the text I first read as we open this message, Paul writes to Timothy to remind him where his faith originated. It started with Lois, then Eunice, then to him. But the Bible never says anything about Lois's mother. It never says anything about her parents. And could it be that you've not been shortchanged? You've not been cheated? God didn't neglect you because you didn't have a godly influence? Maybe it's because you're the Lois. You're the one who's going to start the generations who will follow Jesus. Maybe you're the Lois. You're the one who's going to say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You're the pioneer. You're the forerunner. You're the one who's going to say, it starts with me. I'm not going to be a victim and cry around about how I didn't have it easier. No, instead, I'm going to be like Lois. I'm going to be the forerunner, and I'm going to be the one who says, my children and my children's children will be blessed because of the faith that I have in Christ Jesus the Lord. Look at your neighbor and tell him, be a Lois. Be a Lois. Helping you out because y'all aren't participating today. The Bible makes no mention of Lois's mother. And the Bible's very good with genealogies, mind you. So-and-so begat, so-and-so begat, so-and-so begat, so-and-so. All right? I believe it left it off intentionally because the faith, the line, has to begin somewhere. Let it start with you. I want to pray over you. Lord, I thank you so much for your Spirit. I thank you for the Word of the living God. I thank you for these mothers. I thank you for these grandmothers. I thank you, Lord, for the influence that you've given them over our lives. I pray, Lord, that they would take that responsibility and they would stand in their calling and use it to point their families back to you. Lord, we love you. Convict hearts, change lives, do what only you can do right now in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. If you'd stand to your feet with me all over this place. If you're a mother, or you're a grandmother, or a soon-to-be mother, I want you to come and stand right here at the front of this room right now. And as the mothers are coming forward, I want y'all to put your hands together and let's celebrate these mothers. If you're a mother, if you're a mama or a grandmama, I want y'all, yeah, come on, y'all. Get up here close. Make room because they're still coming. Yes, amen. Let's celebrate them. Come on, church. Let's celebrate these mothers on Mother's Day. We love y'all. Church, I want you to stretch your hands towards them. I'm going to pray over every single one of them. And before I do want to say something to you. Just like the Lord said to Hagar, he said, I am the God who sees you. I am the God who always perceives. That same whisper that he spoke to her, he's speaking to you today. Nobody else may be able to identify with what you're going through, but the Lord, he sees you. He's the God who sees. The other thing I want to say to you is, Scripture is clear, and I don't mean to scare you with this, but in Revelation 12, the Bible is clear that Satan pursues the woman. Not just the woman, but the mother. That's who he comes after. If you read Revelation 12, read Genesis 3, the enemy came after Eve, not Adam, because you have influence. You hold the key to influence with this family. And I'm just praying and believing that the Lord is going to do great and mighty things through your children and through your children's children. And maybe some of them aren't walking with the Lord today, but we're going to pray and agree right now that they will. And maybe you're still raising your children. We're going to pray that they grow up in the fear and admonition and the knowledge of the Lord, and that they serve him all the days of their life, and that you will be the mothers and the grandmothers of Timothy's, of giants of the faith, that they will lead a great multitude to repentance and reconciliation to God. Let's stretch our hands. I mean it this time. I know your arms got tired, but let's do it now. Father, we come to you in Jesus' precious name. I thank you for every single one of these mothers. I thank you for every grandmother. I thank you for every mother that's watching via the live stream. Lord, right now we pray a special blessing over them. Lord, that you would anoint them. This is a mighty mantle that they carry, a mighty responsibility that they walk in, a great influence that you have placed before them. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would give them your Spirit. You would give them your wisdom, knowledge, insight, and direction. I pray that you would give them courage to have difficult conversations, loving conversations. I pray, Lord, that you would bless them. You would keep them. Your face would shine upon them, and no weapon formed against them would ever prosper. I pray that their children would be used mightily of your kingdom. I pray that you would use their children like you used Timothy's, that you would raise them up, Lord, in this next generation to stand for truth, to stand for holiness. Lord Jesus, to speak your gospel unashamedly to the nations of the world. Lord, use them and bless them, protect them. And we love you, Lord, and we give you great and mighty praise for building your church and building your families. In Jesus' precious and wonderful name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Let's give the Lord praise and let's honor these mothers. Y'all can go back to your seat at this time. Love y'all, and we honor you today. At this time, Vision Church, you are dismissed. We love you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. We've got a photo booth in the hallway. Take a minute. Stop. Get your picture taken. It's a free family portrait. We love you. We will see you next week. Invite somebody and tell them about what the Lord is doing in this place. We love you. Be blessed.
Hey, if you enjoyed today's podcast, click that subscribe button, share this podcast on social, or even take a screenshot from your story and tag us. We'd love to hear how the Lord is using this podcast to bless your life. You can send an email to info@visionchurch.com, or you can DM us on social with a story of how God is moving in your world. Also, we'd like to thank those who invest in our ministry financially. It's because of your sacrifice that we are able to publish this every week. If you would like to join in giving to our ministry, you can click the link in the description or visit visionchurch.com and click the Give tab. Thanks again for listening. God bless.